ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। अथ साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। Still seeing this long bhashyam of verse number 21. So we understood mainly, Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness. Avikriyattam Atmanah Swarupam. This abstract reality is ever of the nature of changelessness. Changelessness being is Swarupam, nature. Actionlessness is also the Swarupam. Because action implies being subject to change. Actionlessness is Swarupam because Atma is not associated with any of the accessories required for karma. Actionlessness is the Swarupam. Actionlessness being the Swarupam, Atma is free from the status of being the enjoyer also. So Atma is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Atma is free from enjoyership means Atma is free from all punya papam, sanchita karma, varabdha karma, agami karma, no karma at all for Atma. If Atma is ever free from the karma, then where is the question of Atma having to go through the parabdha? If karma is not there, then there cannot be birth also. Birth is only for specifically exhausting the parabdha karma, a part of sanchita karma. And when exhausting the parabdha karma, accumulation of punya papam is possible as agami karma only if there's doership and enjoyership. If Atma is free from, Atma is the nature of changelessness, Atma is free from, Atma is actionless. If Atma is actionless, Atma cannot be the enjoyer also. Therefore, Atma being not subject to any limitation, we have to understand, Atma is free from all punya papams, all anchanchita agami, even the parabdha karmas. Atma is ever free, nitya muktaha, ever free. So freedom is being free, is freedom, and freedom is very nature of the Atma. That is why discovering the Atma implies discovering the very freedom. They're not two different things. Discovering the Atma is discovering the freedom. What is implied by the term Atma? That is ever free. So discovering the freedom is attainment of freedom. Therefore, understand the nature of the Atma is very important here. Therefore, very carefully Shankara Bhagavatpada presents his commentary, establishing the fact how Atma is absolutely free from doership and enjoyership. Even though he hasn't mentioned Atma is from enjoyership, it's implied being free from doership implies being free from enjoyership also. Atma has no karma. And the person who discovered Atma Swarupam discovers his reality, the actionless changes reality being one's own essential nature, is also free from doership and enjoyership. His identity being with that Atma, he is ever free from bondage of karma. Such a person definitely is not involved in any karma. How can he kill? How can he instigate to kill? Definitely it's impossible for him to kill or to instigate to kill because there's no action on the part of a jnani. This also we understood. Then we saw Puru Vimamsakas. We saw two types of the karmakandis. The first of the karmakandi wanted to combine karma with the jnanam. Because he didn't want karma to be left out. Even though he was convinced that jnanam is also important. But he wanted karma, jnanam to be combined with karma. So Shankara Bhagavatapada established, no, the jnanam, where there is jnanam, there cannot be karma at all. How can jnanam be combined with karma? Where in jnanam, the very doership will be resolved, negated, enjoyership will be negated. Where there is jnanam, there cannot be, there is a sense of fulfillment. There won't be any inadequacy. Performance of karma is not possible. So it's impossible to combine jnanam with karma. Why? How? There's no need to. Why jnanam need not be combined at all with karma? That was established initially. Then, the next type of Purupakshi came. He has a karmakandi, but he doesn't even think of jnana. For him, jnana kandaha doesn't even exist for him. But it is only karmakanda. Jnana kanda is simply there. Karmakanda is the main subject matter of the Veda Shastram. Performing karma is the making one perform karma. The very aim of the Shastra. So one has to perform karma. Once he performs karma, then he can enjoy benefits. Results will be definite. Once he enjoys benefits, and then he will be more inclined to do karma. There's nothing greater than performing karma and enjoy the results of karma. And who is this? He is a poor Mimamsakaha. He doesn't think of even Ishvara. So, understand karmakanda subject matter, perform rituals, perform karma, enjoy the benefits. That is what is the priority of life. So, artha kamas become the ultimate goals. Even happiness for him is only in enjoying the artha kamas as results of rituals. And according to him, the whole jnanakanda is not a big subject matter. What is the jnanam for then? Jnanam is only a glorification of jiva. When Shastram states the fact that you are that absolute reality, you are indestructible reality, you are timeless reality, you are everlasting reality, and you are the absolute truth, you are Atma, you are Brahma. The student of Vedanta who listens to the subject matter of the Shastram, he feels that his self is glorified. It's all glorification, praise of jiva. So when the person is praised, naturally he feels inspired. In the same way here, the jiva listening to the Vedanta Shastram, he becomes glorified and praised, he becomes enthusiastic. He becomes inspired. An inspiration for what? In studying the Vedanta Shastram is to become inspired to do karma. This is the Purvimamsaka's view. This is contention. We saw all that. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatam, we are seeing the portion where Shankar Bhagavatpada was actually denying that his view and refuting his view, stating what was Shankar Bhagavatpada's answer. How did he clarify that? We saw where entire Veda Shastram consists of two different Shastrams with two different Anubandha Chatushtayams. Adhikaris are different. Adhikaris for two Shastrams are different. The subject matter is different. So even the Phalam, the Prayojanam of Karma Shastram, the Prayojanam of the Vedanta Shastram, the end portion of the Veda, completely different. Artha Kama Dharmaha, time-bound results are the benefits attainable as a result of Karma Kanda Jnanam. Whereas Vedanta Shastra Jnanam will result in the discovery of freedom. Karma Kanda Jnanam has to be implemented in the form of performance of rituals to enjoy the benefits. The mere knowledge of the subject matter of Karma Kanda will not give any benefit. Studying the subject matter of Karma Kanda, understanding the teaching, having the knowledge of the subject matter of Karma Kanda will not give any benefits unless the knowledge is implemented in the form of performing worships and rituals. Whereas the knowledge of the subject matter of Jnana Kanda itself is the result in terms of moksha. That knowledge need not be, cannot be implemented. Jnanam itself is the moksha. Jnanam itself is the result in the form of moksha. There's a big difference. There are two different subject matters. And here in Karma Kanda, even though rituals are prescribed, all the mantras are taken for analysis, thoroughly studied and analyzed, we will have very clear understanding. That is, Ishvara is brought in. The Ishvara is brought in. That is, to understand Ishvara as the Karma Phaladata, as ordainer of the results of actions. Ishvara is the knowledge. Ishvara is the manifest knowledge backing the order involved in all functions and actions. So being the very knowledge backing the order involved in all the functions, all the natural laws which determine the results of actions are also non-separate from knowledge that is Ishvara, the manifest knowledge that is Ishvara. Ishvara is understood as the Karma Phaladata, as the bestower of results of actions, remaining in the form of natural laws. And not only that, in the context, we understand the Dharma. If Ishvara is understood as order, then the Dharma is understood. Dharana Dharma ityuchyate dhayate anene iti dharma. The whole Ishvara understood as the natural, universal, moral law and order. Therefore, the subtle, the mind becomes subtle in understanding the Dharma. That is, the more a person lives in tune with the order, the more one can have harmonious life. So harmony in life is based on one's living one's life in tune with the order that is Ishvara. If one does not live one's life in harmony with the order, tune with the order, in conformity with the order, when one disturbs the order, And disturbing the order will result in disturbance in one's mind. Having disturbed mind means being restless, agitated, and not having peace of mind. Therefore, one sukham, in terms of being peaceful, is dependent on living one's life in harmony with the Ishvara, the order. This dharma is also understood from the karma kanda, subject matter karma kanda. Therefore, in the context of understanding the importance of living one's life in tune with the order, Ishvara, one understands the necessary importance, the choicelessness of having to live one's life in tune, in harm, in conformity with the universal values. So, dharma jnanam, knowledge of dharma, understanding of the concept Ishvara definitely is possible when a person understands and thoroughly analyzes the mantras, understand the whole teaching of karma kanda properly. Therefore, Purnamamsaka, being a highly erudite person, having thorough understanding of the karma kanda, he does accept choicelessly all the teachings of karma kanda, which means that what cannot be proved by other pramanams is established only in the shastram, such as rebirth, punarjanma, accumulation of punyam, and punyam can be translated into the experience of sukham, and this papam will be translated into the experience of pain. So to avoid pain in one's life, one has to be careful that one must have discretion, and one must live one's life in conformity with dharma, so that one can only accumulate punyam. That punyam will result in the experience of the sukham in this life, even life after. So he understands the jiva survives death. The body, after follow the body, jiva will come back into this world. He will be born again. He can experience this, the punyam he has accumulated in his life. So accumulating punyam in this life will help a person enjoy better life, better life next life. So many karmakandis have 100% faith in the such teaching. So they do not think only of the present life. They even think of the next life, life after death. So they do not want suffering later on. So very consciously they do the things that they want to accumulate punyam. So all these facts, accumulation of punya papam, the punyam being translatable as experience of pleasure, papam can be experienced as papam is an experience, a result of pap. Pain is an experience of papa karma, and the jiva survives death. It is only the body which falls apart, which is inevitable. So one can come back again and again, assuming new bodies to enjoy better life. And not only in this world, even one can earn only punyam, 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 and just accumulate only punyam, living a very clean life of dharma. One can even go to higher lokas, and one can enjoy even the highest form of pleasures enjoyed in higher lokas, which completely such facts are not at all understood through any pramanam, cannot be understood at all. So all this Purvamasaka accepts, understands, accepting Veda as the Shastra Pramanam. If all these are acceptable for him, then what is taught in the other Shastra, Veda Anta Shastram, what the facts revealed by the Upanishads also must be acceptable. He cannot simply say that I accept these, the facts revealed in the Karmakanda as facts. I cannot accept what is revealed in the Gyanakanda as facts. They're all simple words of flattery, words of glorification. And it's simply to drive every jiva do karma with enthusiasm and inspiration. This is what is Purupakshi's view, thinks. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada, what Shankara Bhagavatpada's answer? See, even though our interest is only in Jnanakanda, we ourselves from the Bhashyam appreciate, understand an amazing fact, the Dharma Jnanam. That is why Veda is always great, greatest, superior. I have no choice but living a life of Dharma. If I want to be peaceful here and hereafter. This emphasis on Dharma. As Pujya Swami used to say very beautifully, all other cultures also emphasize Dharma. They all teach Dharma, they emphasize Dharma, values. But no other culture emphasizes the value of Dharma, value of values. Because the vision is not there. Because Moksha Purushartha is not there. Because we don't study the Karmakanda at all. But from the Bhashyam, when he talks very little about Karmakanda, we understand this, that there is Ishvara Jnanam and Dharma Jnanam and Ishvara as the Dharma. As it is said in Ramayanam, Ramaha Vigrahavan Dharmaha. Rama is the personification of Dharma, embodiment of Dharma. Means Ishvara is... There's no way of understanding Dharma without understanding Ishvara. There's no Ishvara Jnana without understanding Dharma. That is the beautiful thing we understand from the Bhashyam, which discusses the subject matter of karma also, very briefly. Shankara Bhagavatpada, we saw condemning those people, or some people who consider themselves to be scholars. So, they deny the very ashrama, sannyasa ashrama. So, Purvimamsakaha, these karmakandinaha, so these people whose interest only in karma deny the sannyasa ashrama. Which means renunciation of actions is not at all possible. Because there's no such a thing, nobody is a jnani and there's no jnanam. Because the teaching itself is not real. There are no facts in the karma jnana kanda. That is their argument. That's what he says. Tatra kechit, correct? I've come to the point. Tatra kechit, Panditam manyaha, who consider themselves to be wise people. Unfortunately, the people who are not wise mistake themselves to be wise. That's the danger. They're people of great scholarship in the subject matter of the Karmakanda, but they consider themselves to be wise. Who are wise according to Shastram? Atma Jnanam is there, A person of Atma Jnanam is Panditaha, is wise. Without Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, there is no absolute wisdom. One can have worldly wisdom. That's okay. He can live his life comfortably, peacefully, no problem, but doesn't mean there is absolute wisdom. Absolute wisdom is only in absolute knowledge. That is knowledge of the absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self. But here Shankaracharya says, Kechit Panditam Manyaha Vadanti. What do they say? Janmadishadbhava Vikara Rahitaha. It's all, he repeats the words of the Vedanta Shastra. Janmadishadbhava Vikara Rahitaha. Oh, you are Atma. And you are Atma, you are free from the sixfold modifications. And you are avikriha, you are changeless. You are akarta, you are a non-doer. You are only truth. And you are all pervasive reality, Atma. Okay, such glorifications will make the listener, the jiva, think what? Janmad ishad bhava vikara rahitaha avikriyaha akarta yekaha atma aham. So I am Atma, the only reality, non-doer, changeless. I am the only non-changeless reality, non-doer. And free from all sixfold modifications such as birth, etc. Iti kasyachite jnanam na utpadyate. Such knowledge does not happen at all for anyone. Kasyachite such jnanam na utpadyate. Who said this? Such a jnanam doesn't arise for anybody. Kasyachite such a jnanam na utpadyate. Yasmin sati sarvakarma sannyasaha upadishyate. If such knowledge is possible, if such knowledge is real, if it is a fact, if such knowledge rises, then renunciation of all actions through knowledge also can be taught. Upadishyate is a present tense verb. We should take it as upadishyeta. Such knowledge, that renunciation of all actions through knowledge, jnanena sarva karma sannyasaha, can be taught, may be taught, if such knowledge is fact, not such is possible, such knowledge really rises. No, such knowledge does not rise at all. Such knowledge doesn't even exist. It is not even a fact. Okay. Now he continues. Correct? Then I'm leaving. Na. Shankaracharya's answer is what? Na. Na jayate ityadi shastra upadesha anarthakyat. No. Na means no. That view of a Purmimamsaka is not correct. If the teaching is not real, the fact is, it is not a fact. Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Atma Asmi, Akarta Atma Aham Asmi. I, the self, am the non-doer. I am a non-doer Atma. I am changeless Atma. I am only reality. I am free from all sixfold modifications, etc. If such knowledge is not a fact, then there are teachings in the following. Najayate mriyate va kadachit. In that shloka, the following verse you're going to see, every word reveals Atma Swarupam, the nature of the Atma. What is the nature of the Atma? Atma is free from changes. Atma is changeless. And the changelessness being the nature of the Atma, is presented as what? It is not subject to birth, it is not born, it does not die. And there were a time Atma was, never a time Atma having been there for some time, Atma does not become non-existent, and it is unborn, it is all-pervasive, it is timeless, it is eternal, etc. Every word reveals the Atma in terms of its given nature. Then, that teaching is for what? Whole teaching is for us to understand the real nature of the Atma, to take ownership of that nature as one's own surupam, thereby to discover freedom. There's a purpose of the teaching. The teaching of the subject matter of the Jnanakanda is purposeful, meaningful. So he says, then if that is a fact, aham atma is not a fact, then najayate ityadi shastra upadesha anarthakyat. So the teaching, shastra upadesha anarthakyam will be there. There will be meaninglessness, purposelessness of the teaching of the Vedanta Shastram. But there cannot be, teaching cannot be purposeless, meaningless. Therefore what? The Purapakshi's view is not correct. What he says is not correct. Najayate ityadi shastra upadesha anarthakya. Okay. Yatha cha shastra upadesha samarthyat. Yatha cha shastra upadesha samarthyat. Dharma astitva vijnanam. Kartuhu cha dehantra sambandhi jnanam cha utpadyate. Tatha shastratyeva atmanaha avikriyatva akartrutva ekatvada vijnanam kasmatna utpadyate iti prashtavyaha. This is where exactly I stopped last class. Correct? All these Purmimamsakas must be asked this question. They should be asked this question. Who says? Shankara Bhagavatpada tells us, tells all the student of Vedanta, that these people should be asked this question. Prashtavyaha, they should be asked. Kim iti prashtavyaha, what should they be asked? See, shastra upadesha samarthyat. Only because of the capability of the understanding, capability of having understanding of the subject matter, teaching of the shastram, the capability, capacity is because of the understanding of the subject matter of the shastra. Without the shastra's subject matter, understanding of the shastra subject matter, without understanding subject matter of the shastram, we will not have this capability. Okay? But now we all have that samarthyam, the capability of accepting facts because of understanding of the subject matter of the shastram, teaching of the shastram. What is that? Dharma astitva vijnanam. Dharma asti iti vijnanam. There is dharma. There is order. This knowledge, where do we get from? Not from any other pramanam. This knowledge we get only from the karmakanda of the shastram. Then kartuhu dehantra sambandhi jnanam. The knowledge of the jiva having the knowledge of the possibility of jiva assuming another body, having connection with another body after the fall of this body. So rebirth, leaving this body, the body will fall apart. After leaving this physical body, will assume another body. This jnanam, which science teaches us, where can we learn this fact from? Punarjanma asti. ஜாத்தஸ்ய மிருத்யோ த்ருவஹா மிருதஸ்ய ஜன்ம த்ருவம். தி பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் பார்ன் வில் டெஃபினெட்லி அக்கோர், தட் இஸ் நோன் ஃபேக்ட். தி பர்சன் ஹூ டைஸ் வில் பி பார்ன் அகெய்ன், நோ டவுட். யூ வில் கம் பேக், தட்ஸ் அ மைண்ட் யுவர் பிசினஸ், மைண்ட் யுவர் லைஃப், பிகாஸ் யூ வில் கம் பேக் அண்ட் யூ ஹவ் டு பே பேக் ஃபார் வாட் எவர் யூ ஹவ் டன். That is why be careful. If you do this today, tomorrow you will have to come back and settle. You have to settle accounts with Ishwara. In Swamiji's language, you have to come back to settle accounts with Ishwara. There is no way of escaping. This jnana, where do we get it from? Only from Shastra. That is why we are informed of. Because Bhagavan is there as the order. And then... And therefore, you whatever you do, in keeping with the intention, in keeping with the motive, in keeping with the thinking, whatever karma you do, and the result of that karma will be adrishtam. Every karma produces adrishtam. Adrishtam will be nama punyam and papam, and which has to be exhausted choicelessly, and you have to combine. The same Bhagavan is there in of order, determining the results. There's no choice, no way of escaping from it. Which means, that is what is bondage. There's no way of escaping. There's no way of not to be born again. There's no choice. We cannot choose not to be born. If we had a choice, we would have chosen not to be born again. We never had the choice. We were never asked before being born. Our birth is not our choice. Our death is not our choice. Because that is the choicelessness is what? Bondage. We are bound by karma. It's called karma bandha. Therefore, dehantra sambandhi jnanam also utpadyate. Katam shastra upadesha samarthyat. All this understanding happens only because of the teaching of the shastram. This knowledge is possible only because of the teaching of the Shastra, which means Shastra is only pramanam for this. It is not, our physics, chemistry, mathematics and science, biology, from there we cannot understand these facts. Of course, there are beautiful sciences, no doubt. We can learn about things in the world, but not these facts. So, கர்த்துச்ச தேகாந்திர சம்பத்தி ஜானம் ச உற்பத்தியதே. சோ ஆல் திஸ் பூர்வம்சகா அக்செப்ட்ஸ். ஹி அக்செப்ட்ஸ் ஹாஃப் ஆஃப் தி சாஸ்திரம், சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் தி ஒன் சாஸ்திரம் ஆஃப் தி வேதசாஸ்திரம், பட் ஹி டசன்ட் அக்செப்ட் தி அனதர் சாஸ்திரம் ஆஃப் தி வேதசாஸ்திரம். அண்ட் ஹீ சேஸ் த டீச்சிங் இன் தி அதர் சாஸ்திரம், தி வேதாந்த சாஸ்திரம் டஸ் நாட் ரிவீல் ஃபேக்ட்ஸ். ததா இன் தி சேம் வே தஸ்ய ஏவ ஆத்மனஹ அவிக்ரியத்வ அகர்த்ருத்வ ஏகத்வாதி விஜ்ஞானம் தஸ்மாத் ந உற்பத்யதே. இஃப் தி நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் தி சர்வைவல் ஆஃப் ஜீவா ஆஃப்டர் டெத், நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் தி புண்ணிய பாபம், நாலேஜ் ஆஃப் தர்ம எக்ஸெட்ரா ரைசஸ் in the subject matter of the karma kanda, then why not we accept? Why does not the knowledge rise? Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Atma, the nature of the Atma being changelessness, actionlessness, oneness, etc. Why? The knowledge of the Atma in terms of its nature of actionlessness, changelessness, oneness, etc. Why doesn't rise? Why shouldn't rise? Iti prashtavyaha. The Shastram, the facts revealed by the Shastram become understood. Means knowledge of the facts revealed in the karmakanda of the Veda rises, is accepted. The same way knowledge of the nature of the Atma, which is also a fact revealed by the same Shastra, Veda Shastra, the next Vedanta, why the charge does not rise? Why should that not be accepted as a fact? Iti, te prashtavyaha, they must be asked. Yathacha, so this teaching, we don't need to ask them. We have to be convinced that Vedanta Shastram reveals the facts not knowable through any other pramanam. Just as the Karmakanda of the Veda reveals the facts not knowable through any other pramanam, which cannot be known through any other pramanam, so also Veda Anta Shastram also teaches the facts which cannot be known through any other pramanam. Dharma Jnanam, Ishvara Jnanam, rise as a result of studying, understanding subject matter of the Karmakanda. The same way the Vedanta Shastram is studied properly, systematically, then when the words of the Shastram are unfolded carefully, definitely, the knowledge of the nature of the Atma also rises. Karana agocharatvat iti chet. Karana agocharatvat means what? Now he accepts. Why he cannot accept the knowledge of the Atma revealed by the Vedanta Shastram as a fact? He gives the reason. Okay, when we study the Karmakanda, under the subject matter of the Shastram, and we follow the instruction, we perform rituals, and the results do happen. And the results are, results can be experienced, enjoyed. They are, the results are available for enjoyment. The results are available for enjoyment because they are perceptible through sense organs. Whereas, this Shastra, Vedanta Shastra Jnanam, Vedanta Shastra Jnanam is something not available for sense perception. Because the nature of the Atma discussed in the Vedanta Shastram is not easily understandable. Because if we search for the Atma, such nature as an object, we will never arrive at the Atma. Oh, if I cannot understand something through my sense organs, through my thinking, then through my reasoning, then I have to make a conclusion what such teaching doesn't exist, such facts are not there. Therefore, he says, Karana agocharatvat. So, the Atma, the absolute reality implied with the term Atma, which is unfolded by the words of the Vedanta Shastram, is not available for understanding for any, not available for the means of knowledge. Therefore, what? It's unsubtle. Therefore, such Atma doesn't exist. So knowledge of such Atma also does not happen. This is how the Purupakshi, the Purvamsaka, arrives at the conclusion. The subject matter of the Vedanta Shastram is Atma. And Atma is Karana Agocharaha. Atma is not available for instruments of knowledge such as sense organs, etc. Very not available for thought conception, cannot be described at all, cannot be described by the words. How can you understand the Atma? Very abstract. Such a thing doesn't exist. Therefore, such knowledge also is not a fact. This is how the Purvapakshi comes to the conclusion. No, Shankaracharya gives the answer. Manase, manasa eva anudrashtavyam. And he presents the quote from Brihadaranyakaupanishad. Manasa eva anudrashtavyam. Yes. Atma cannot be perceived through sense organs. But Atma is not an object of knowledge, but still Atma can be understood only with the help of the mind. Atma is not object of knowledge. Atma is an object of thought. No. Atma cannot be known as an object, but Atma can be understood with the help of the mind as the very swarupam of the mind. Not as an object of mind, but as the swarupam of the subject of knowledge. So, manasa eva anudrashtavyam iti shrutehe. In Brihadaranyakaupanishad, it said very clearly how Atma should be understood. Atma, the all-pervasive abstract reality implied by the Atma, implied by the term Atma, can be understood, should be understood only through the mind. Means with the help of the mind, which means mind cannot reveal Atma. Using the mind, we can arrive at the Atma, not as an object, but as a swarupam of the mind. It is shrutehe shastra. Acharya, Upadesha, Shamadamadi, Samskrutam Manaha, Atmadarshane Karanam. He says, how can we understand that Atma? Because the Purvapakshis gave the answer. No? What was the answer? Karana Agocharatvat Iti. Atma is not available for sense perception, not available for any other means of knowledge, not recognizable, not an object. So, very abstract, extremely abstract. Sukshma tamatvat. Extremely subtle. Inexplicably subtle. So, it's very difficult for the mind. It's impossible for the mind to arrive at reality as an object. If it, knowledge of any object is what? Comes within the realm of the science. But Atma is not the object of knowledge. Atma is the very swarupam of the knower. One very swarupam of the knower. Therefore, it should not be mistaken as something non-existent. But na manasa eva anudrashtavyam. So, the subject matter of Vedanta Shastram should not be mistaken to be having the non-factual things. No. Manasa eva anudrashtavyam. Yes, Atma has to be discovered, understood, seen, known with the help of the mind, through the mind. Iti. What is the karanam? He says, what is the karanam here? Instrument here. How we can understand the Atma? How we can arrive at the Atma? Of course, first of all, shrutehi, okay, shastra. Shastram is the pramanam. For any knowledge to take place, we are dependent on pramanam. Without a means of knowledge, no knowledge of an object is possible. We have to use some means of knowledge or the other to have knowledge of anything. But in the same way, Shastram is the Pramanam. So with the help of the Shastram, operating the Shastram as the Pramanam, how you cannot operate Shastram as the Pramanam independently yourself. ஆப்ரேட்டிங் தி சாஸ்திரம் அஸ் தி பிரமாணம் மஸ்ட் பி வித் தி ஹெல்ப் ஆஃப் தி சம்பிரதாய வித் டீச்சர் ஆச்சாரிய ஆச்சாரிய உபதேசம். தட் சாஸ்திரம் விச் சர்வ்ஸ் அஸ் அ மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலேஜ் மஸ்ட் பி ஸ்டடிட் ஹவு வித் தி ஹெல்ப் ஆஃப் தி டீச்சர் தி டீச்சிங் ஆஃப் டீச்சிங் ஆஃப் தி ஆச்சாரியா. ஆச்சாரியா வினி ஆச்சாரியா அன்போல் சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் ஆஃப் தி சாஸ்திரம் when he teaches the teaching of the acharya is that shastra upadeshena and because of the teaching by the competent teacher sampradaya with the teacher the subject matter of the shastram then what happens shama damadi samskrutam manaha because of the teaching the person first of all what the person has purushartha nischaya and he becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam he knows the value of jnanam then he pursues he follows the discipline of jnana yoga and if he is not ready for jnanam he has to choicelessly live he has to go through the life of karma yoga he has to strictly live a life of dharma that is how he has what all fourfold qualifications then you will have what all disciplines shamaha damaha uparamaha titiksha shaddha samadhanam so shama dama adi samskrutam manaha the mind which is highly cultured disciplined samskrutam manaha refined mind cultured mind the refined mind is the mind becomes refined adequately sharp and steady to grasp the teaching assimilate the teaching the samskrutam manaha the mind becomes refined only because of the strict practice of discipline such as shamaha damaha etc all those disciplines a person can follow strictly effortlessly okay the joy only when a person knows the importance of following the disciplines for which he must have what also vairagyam he must have dispassion towards time bound things and have dispassion towards time bound things he must have the discriminative understanding of what is permanent what is impermanent so a person and one can have vivekaha the discriminative understanding of what is eternal what is ephemeral and thereby one can have dispassion towards ephemeral time bound things impermanent things and as a result of becoming dispassionate towards time bound ephemeral things impermanent things naturally a person also what is able to strictly follow the disciplines shamaha damaha uparamaha titiksha etc this is how in due course of time mind becomes refined subtle mind so vivekaha vairagyam shamadamadi disciplines all these contribute for the mind becoming refined So refined mind is the mind which has the fourfold qualifications. It's a serious, you know, the desperate, the seriousness, serious desire for moksha, mukshutva. And all this is possible only when a person is exposed to the Shastra teaching. So she says here, Shastra Acharya Upadesha. Shamadamadi samskrutam manaha. So the mind, which becomes a refined mind, as a result of practicing these disciplines, because of the viveka vairagyam that person has, as a result of being exposed to the teaching of the shastram, by a sampradaya with teacher. Such a mind, the refined mind is what? Atma darshane karanam. Refined mind is the instrument in seeing, in having the clear, doubt-free vision of the reality, all-pervasive reality, obtaining as one's own self. The refined mind is the instrument in grasping, in having the clear vision of the all-pervasive abstract reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as one's own nature, one's own self. Without the Sanskritam Manaha, Atma Darshanam is not possible. So, having mental refinement is very, very important to have the clear, doubt-free vision of the reality obtaining as one's own self. So, one must make all possible efforts for mental refinement. The refined mind must be adequately pure and steady. An adequate mental purity and steadiness is possible only if a person strictly lives a life of karma yoga. And living strictly a life of karma yoga itself is a great tapas. Which is what you always say, it's not an easy joke. What karma yoga? Not easy joke. Living a life of karma yoga is a great tapas. You must be always conscious of what you are doing, how you are taking situations, how you keep yourself in good humor, and whether there's a, you should never fail in following this, you know, instruction of remaining the same in all situations with the relation rejections. Not an easy joke. If that is attached to be there, then 100% surrender to Ishvara must be there. There must be commitment to live a life of dharma. It's not an easy joke. So living a life of karma yoga, the discipline prescribed by the Shastram, is the only means of having mental refinement. The refined mind is possible only if you live a life of karma yoga. Even for that, Shastram is the pramanam. Shastra upadesha eva. So mind has become refined mind. The mental refinement is there. If one takes care of mental refinement, having purushartha nischaya, having moksha as the ultimate goal, knowing the value of knowledge as only means of discovering freedom, moksha, and having one's focus on mental preparation required for jnanam, if a person strictly follows the life of karma yoga, I mean, takes care of all the disciplines, then one will become naturally refined minded. Then that is the karanam. So refined mind is the instrument in having the clear vision of the Atma. And you shall say, oh, Atma is actionless, Atma is, what is, talking about Atma, Atma is timeless, beginningless, independent, talking about all nature of the Atma, and which is not easily understood, which is not at all understandable easily, very abstract. And what do we decide then? Finally, we arrive at the conclusion, such Atma does not exist. Such challenge is not possible. This is how people, you know, think. This is not a fact. No. One must take care of one's mental refinement to discover that Atma. It is refined mind is the karanam, instrument in discovering such Atma. don't forget why Shankaracharya is saying all these things. The answer for Purvimamsaka. Tathacha tad adhigamaya anumane agame chasati jnanam na upapadyate iti sahasam etat. So what he says, tathacha tad adhigamaya means what? Tasya brahmanaha atmanaha adhigamaya. For understanding, for discovering, adhigamaha means understanding. For understanding, grasping, assimilating that reality implied with the term atma. Tad adhigamaya means what? For the attainment of self-knowledge. Tad adhigamaya means tasya adhigamaya. Tasya adhigamaya means what? For understanding the atma, for the attainment of atma-jnanam, self-knowledge. Anumane agamecha sati. Anumanam means inference. Agamaha means Veda Shastra. So, in spite of the Veda Shastram being there as the means of knowledge, Agamaha means Veda Shastra. Agamaha, the Veda Shastram being there as the means of knowledge, in spite of the inference, in spite of Anumanam being there as the Anumanam being there in support of the Veda Shastram. Because whatever we understand through the Veda, we can analyze. Then we can logically, we can have the logical logic also, logic support also of the teacher through analysis. So in spite of Veda Shastram being there as the Pramanam, in spite of having support of the Anumanam also, Jnanam na upapadyate, the knowledge of the Atma does not rise. Oh, Vedanta Shastram is there as the Pramanam. In spite of having so many Upanishads as the means of knowledge, the whole Vedanta Shastram as the means of knowledge, in spite of having support of the reasoning also, inference also, still knowledge does not take place. Jnanam na upapadyate, jnanam na upapadyate, or knowledge does not rise. This is what happens, you know, when people are not prepared, ready for this jnanam. We are still interested in so many worldly things. Nothing wrong. And they're not prepared enough. Then what happens? They will take all these teachings. It's all not practical. Whatever is taught in Bhagavad Gita classes, well, class is not practical. It is not really, this doesn't get it. Because when a person is not ready, one has to be subtle mentally to be able to appreciate the teaching, understand the teaching, retain the teaching, assimilate the teaching. The person is still gross mentally. And it's not possible for such a person to sit in the class to listen to the teaching at all. Even a person sits and listens, nothing will get registered. Nothing can be really understood. Nothing can be assimilated. Sometimes people think, oh, I can understand everything what is being said in the class. But still, it is not simple. Understanding must reflect in day-to-day life. It doesn't happen because it doesn't sink. It takes very long. That is why what is it we need for that? Samskritam manaha atma darshane karanam. Now, in spite of having shastram asti pramanam, agamecha sati, anumanecha sati, in spite of having agama pramanam, agama asti means of knowledge, anumanam also being there, still jnanam na utpadyate iti etat sahasam. Sahasam means what? It is really sahasam vachanam. It's a bold, the bold statement. Sahasam means what? It's a bold statement. Oh, knowledge doesn't take place. If somebody is saying, in spite of having the Vedanta Shastra as the Pramanam, if somebody is saying that knowledge doesn't take place, acharya does not rise at all. Such knowledge does not rise at all. To say that, the person must be very bold. Is it? It's a sahasam vachanam. It's a bold statement, a bold expression. To say that such knowledge does not rise. Sahasam. Jnanam cha utpadyamanam. See, Shankarapada says sahasam means what? It's really bold expression on the part of a Purupakshi to say this. How dare he says that? Okay, sahasam means what? Is a bold expression. How dare he says that? That such knowledge does not rise at all. Her charge does not raise at all. How can he say that? Before, jnanam cha utpadyamanam. Jnanam cha utpadyamanam. Tad viparitam ajnanam avashyam badhate. Iti abhyupagantavyam. He says, jnanam cha utpadyamanam. Utpadyamanam jnanam means what? The knowledge as it rises. The knowledge as it rises. Tadviparitam ajnanam avashyam badhate. The ignorance, it does affect. Avashyam badhate. Certainly, definitely, that knowledge affects the ignorance. It's opposed to knowledge. Utpadyamanam jnanam, a knowledge which rises, which is rising, certainly does affect ignorance, which is opposed to knowledge. Tad viparitam ajnanam avashyam badhate iti abhyupagantavyam. Abhi, upa, two prefixes. Abhi, upa, abhyupagantavyam. Abhyupagantavyam is simple, you know, must be gone, must be reached. But abhyupagantavyam means this must be accepted. Okay? This must be accepted. What should be accepted? Abhyupagantavya means it should be accepted. It cannot be denied. How dare he says that? It cannot be denied. It must be accepted. Abhyupagantavyam. It should be accepted that knowledge, when knowledge is rising, definitely, it affects the ignorance which is opposed to knowledge. This fact also must be accepted by the Purupakshi. Why? Because knowledge does rise. It is not karana gocharam. It is not available for any means of knowledge. That's not true. Pramanam, Agama Pramanam is there. Anumanam is also there. When you understand teaching from the Veda Shastram, you use your own reasoning. And you can see how the teaching doesn't contradict your reasoning. And you can really have the vision, clear vision of doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality obtaining as your own Swarupa. And the very truth of I, knowledge will rise. For which, what you need is Sanskritam Manaha, refined mind. Sanskritam Manaha is possible only if a person is strictly given to the practice of disciplines. And a strict practice of disciplines is possible. It involves tremendous effort to strictly follow in the disciplines involves what? The tremendous commitment, strength is possible only if a person has Vairagyam. The Vairagyam is possible if a person has Viveka. And Viveka, Vairagyam, this commitment to follow the disciplines, all these are possible only when a person is exposed to Shastra teaching. So Shastra, the strength of the Shastra teaching, when a person understands subtle facts, and strictly follows the disciplines, in due course of time, he becomes a person of refined mind. Which refined mind, is the instrument in having the clear vision of the Atma. So, in spite of Shastra being there as the Pramanam, how dare he can say that? It is really bold to say, bold expression to say that the charge does not rise. No, such knowledge does rise if the mind is refined enough. The Shastra is used as the Pramana. And as knowledge rises, and you can see the benefit of that knowledge, that it does affect the ignorance. Means knowledge does resolve. The ignorance does resolve. Tatvicha Ajnanam Darshitam Tatvicha Ajnanam Darshitam. That ignorance also Ajnanam Darshitam. That ignorance also was shown. Ignorance was shown in the Bhagavad Gita. How? Hanta Aham. I am the killer. Hataha Asmi. Oh, I am killed. I am the killer. I am killed. I am the doer. I become the victim of the acts of other people. Iti. Ubhautauna vijanitaha. The people who are of such thinking, I am killer, I'm killed, I'm the doer of the action, I become the victim of the object of the doers of other actions. Such thinking, people of such thinking, they do not know the earth. This is how ignorance also was shown. Ignorance has been shown in this Bhagavad Gita. This was verse number 21. Bhautauna vijanitaha iti ajnanam darshitam. Hanta aham hataha asmi iti. Bhautauna vijanitaha iti ajnanam darshitam. So thinking that I am the killer, I am killed, and stating that those people, both of them, do not know, etc. This is how the ignorance also was brought to light by the Shastram. Aptracha Atmanaha Hananakriyayaha Kartrutvam Karmatvam Hetu Kartrutvam Cha Ajnanakritam Darshitam. Very nice. What is it here? Atra means here in these statements. Ubhautau na vijanitaha. these people who think that Atma is the doer, Atma is subject of action, Atma is the object of action, such people do not know the Atma, ignorant of the Atma. So, in that verse, Atmanaha Hananakriyayaha Kartrutvam. The doership of Atma of the act of killing, the doership of the Atma of the act of killing, Karmatvam, and the Atma having the status of being the object of the act of killing, Hetu Kartrutvam. And Atma having the status of being the instigator of the action, all that have been shown as an expression of ignorance. Ajnanakritam darshitam. In the 21st verse, what was revealed, what was brought to light? Kim darshitam. Darshitam means fact was brought to light. What was the fact brought to light there? Ajnanakritam darshitam. Expression of ignorance was brought to light. What is expression of ignorance? Atmanaha kartrutvam. Atma having the status of being the doer of the act of killing. Or Atma having the status of being the subject of action. Then karmatva, the Atma having the status of being the object of action. Hetu karmatva, hetu kartrutva. Atma having the status of being the instigator of action. All this is what now? When you say Atma is the killer, Atma is killed, Atma is the doer, Atma becomes the object of action, Atma is the instigator, Atma makes other person do things. Such thinking is what now? Ajnanakritam. These are all expression of ignorance. So these being the expression of ignorance was very clearly shown in that verse 21. Tatcha aham hanta hataha asmiti ajnanam darshitam. So ignorance also was revealed in that verse. What is ignorance? Ignorance of the Atma. If ignorance of the Atma is, then naturally, what will be the notion one will have? I am the doer, I am the killer, why become killed? So the erroneous notion one has about oneself as the doer of action or the object of action, this being the expression of ignorance also was very well shown in that verse. Ubhau tauna vijani taha iti. Atracha atmanaha hananakriyayaha kartrutvam karmatvam hetu kartrutvam cha ajnanakritam darshitam. It was very well shown. Okay, I repeat it twice. Okay, tatcha sarvakriyasu api samanam kartrutvadehe avidyakritatvam avikriyatvad atmanaha. Atmanaha avikriyatvad means what? Atma has the status of being having the status of being changeless, action changeless. Atmanaha avikriyatvat means what? Atmanaha avikriyatvat, Atma is changeless. As Atma has the status of being changeless, As Atma is of the nature of changelessness, sarvakriyasu api atmanam kartrutvadehe avidyakritatvam. Okay, if the doership, not only an act of killing, in all the actions, if Atma is mistaken to be doer of not only the act of killing but any action also, in all actions, Atma is not the subject of any action. Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Not only the act of killing, Atma is not associated at all with any action. So, sarva kriyasu api, not only the act of killing. Somebody says, okay, I'm walking, I'm going, I'm achieving, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Okay, relatively you can say in day-to-day life, in vyavahara, we have to talk to people, we do have to say what? Whatever we are saying, I had to go there, I had to do this, I did this, I, all these also. Sarva kriyasu api, in all actions, we do say what? I did this, I had to do this, etc. In day-to-day life, in vyavahara, it's okay, but absolutely, if you analyze, we must remember what? Even though we use this, it's all relatively, we are saying, absolutely, I am Atma, and as Atma, I am non-doer of any action. So in any action, if a person has kartrutvam, not only in the act of killing, sarvasu kriyasu, in all actions also, samanam, it is the same. In all actions also, it is the same that kartrutvam bhoktrutvam. Kartrutvadehe means what? Avidyakritatvam is only expression of ignorance. Not only the act of killing, in all actions also, having the doership is what? The same, that it is the expression of ignorance only. Why? Avikriyatvat atmana, atma is ever of the nature of changelessness. Atmanaha avikriyatvat. As Atma has the status of being changeless, as Atma is ever of the nature of changelessness, Atma is not the doer of any action, Atma is absolutely actionless, Atma is not involved in any of the actions. Sarvakriyasu api samanam, which instead of saying I am the killer, I am the I am killed, etc. If you say something else, I suffer, I go through problems also, is what now? It's all expression of ignorance only. Vikriyavan hi karta, vikriyavan hi karta. Atmanaha karma bhotam anyam prayojayati kuru iti. The vikriyavan means what? Vikriya, the person who is object to change. Who is object to change here? The person whose identity is with the body, mind and complex is subject to change. See, vikriyavan here means the person who has identity with body, mind and complex is subject to change is a person of change. Vikriyavan. A ignorant person, the person who does not know the Atma, who is a vikriyavan, who is a person of who is a person of change because of his wrong identity, that person indeed he becomes what? He becomes the karta. He makes himself a doer. Vikriyavan karta. He makes himself a doer. And anyam karma bhutam prayojayati. Atmanaha anyam karma bhutam prayojayati. Other makes the other person who is object of his action, object of his knowledge, make him do. Kuru iti prayojayati. He activates the other person. Who is the doer and who is the instigator of the action? Only Vikriyavan. Who is the Vikriyavan? The person who is ignorant of the self, who does not know the self, who has wrong identity with the anatma, body, mind, and is complexly subject to change, such a person is a person of change. As an ignorant person alone, what does he do? He alone considers himself to be a doer. He makes himself to be a doer. Then, atmanaha karma bhutam anyam. Another person who is the object of his knowledge makes him instigates other person to do. Anyam kuru iti prayojayati. He makes use of the other person and he instigates the other person to do. Who is the instigator? Only ignorant person can be an instigator. Ignorant person can consider himself to be the doer. We'll stop here. Tadi etad avisheshena vidushaha sarvakriyasu kartrutvam hetu kartrutvam cha pratishedhati bhagavan. So what says now Shankara Bhagavad says in his commentary, ignorant person alone can consider himself to be doer and he alone can make other person, alone can instigate other person to do. So, Shankaracharya says here, sarvakriyasu kartrutvam hetu kartrutvam cha. The doership, the status of being the doer in all actions, and hetu kartrutvam, having the status of being the instigator of an action, vidushaha pratishedati. So Shankar Bhagavatpada, the shastram pratishedati, negates. Shastram denies, Shastram negates this doership on the part of a wise person. Shastram negates the status of being instigator of an action on the part of a wise person. A wise person cannot be the doer, cannot be the instigator of the action also. Sarva kriyasu kartrutvam hetu kartrutvam cha vidushaha pratishedhati. Who? Bhagavan. Vidushaha karma adhikara abhava pradarshanartham. Kimartham Bhagavan pratishedhati? Why does Bhagavan negate the doership and the the status of being the instigator of an action on the part of a jnani? Because karma adhikara abhava pradarshanartham, specifically for revealing the fact of non-eligibility of doing action of a jnani. Vidushaha karma adhikara abhava pradarshanartham, there is absence of eligibility. There is no eligibility at all on the part of a jnani to do karma. There's only sannya. He is only eligible for sannyasa, not for doing that karma. Okay, for specifically for showing that a jnani is not at all eligible for karma. Darshartham, Bhagavan says what? Veda, avinashinam veda. The person who knows the atma to be indestructible. Katham sapurushaha ityadina. So by stating in this verse 21, Bhagavan specifically negates the doership, negates the status of instigator of action on the part of a jnani, specifically for showing the jnani being not eligible for karma. Jnani is eligible only for sannyasa. Sannyasa means what? Being free from the notion, I'm the doer. Bhagavan Pratishedati. What is the prosodak there? Bhagavan Veda Avinashinam Katham Sapurushaha Ityadina Tad Yetate Avisheshena Vidushaha Sarvakriyasu Kartrutvam Hetu Kartrutvam Cha Vidushaha Karma Adhikari Abhava Pradarshanartham Karma Adhikarya Bhava Pradarshanartham Patishedati. So Bhagavan denies, Bhagavan negates this doership because jnani is not at all eligible for karma, specifically for showing this. Which once jnanam is there, there's no karma. Whether the person is jnani is physically involved in actions or not, still jnani is actionless. Jnani has no punya papam. Jnani is akarta. Jnani is abhokta. I must stop here. We'll continue next class. Okay. At last, we have to come back soon. We move on to the next verse. Nag Bhashyam. After listening to the unfoldment of the Bhashyam of the 21st verse, still one comes back and says, I have punyam papam karta bhukta. Then Swamiji should say, Swamiji always will put his hand in his. When the satsang, then we will be sitting around him and he will ask him. Somebody will come, no? Some new person comes. They have respect for Swamiji. They come and sit. Swamiji, I heard you talk today. You sounded exactly like J. Krishnamurti or Rajneesh, they'll say. Swamiji will say afterwards. No. People don't really see the subtle difference between the teaching, isn't it? No, the sannyasa vaayinkonuna alba tamashika. And the madri, these all really repeatedly you are injected, isn't it? You repeat your hammered. You are akarta, 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 akartra, no punya, isn't it? After listening to such teaching, then you have to read what? Nirvana Shatkam. Only then you can be contemplative of what is said by the words in the Nirvana Shatkam. Swamiji, you should say that, no, Nirvana Shatkam is not for simply chanting and singing. It is for repeated dwelling upon the facts. How can you dwell upon the fact if we do not know the facts? So this teaching helps repeatedly. How much is repeated? Atma akarta, because atma avikriyaha. Changelessness is the basis for saying its actions. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.